Thank you so much, Dale and Steve. It's interesting. This ties perfectly in with the message tonight. If you want to turn to John chapter 1, 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s, you can head out. Simeon, when they bring Jesus to the temple to fulfill the law, circumcision that came with that. There's interesting things about this text when you look at it. The Bible says that it was revealed by the Holy Ghost that he would not die till he saw this baby. So who knows, you know, what that meant for him, how long he had had this prophecy and so forth. But when Mary comes in, the Bible says, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, how many of you ever seen a brand new mother, particularly with their firstborn child, taking that baby out of her arms? Not a good thing most of the time. It took me a while to even hold my first baby. My wife wouldn't. I'm just kidding. It's a pretty big deal. So that alone is pretty significant. But I love verse 32 of Luke chapter 2. I know you're in John 1. Stay there. We'll be there in just a minute because it ties in. But he is preaching. That's what Simeon's doing. He talks about how the Lord has prepared salvation before the people's face. And then he says in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Some people say, boy, nobody knew that the Gentiles were going to be a part of this. Yes, they did. Simeon preached it right here in the temple. Now imagine how popular that would have been in the temple, standing there. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What a precious truth in the Bible says, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which are spoken. Yeah, that would be the case for sure. He also says in that passage of Scripture, he tells Mary that though Jesus himself would be smitten, he says in verse 35, yes, sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. We forget sometimes that Mary was the mother. She stood at the foot of the cross watching her son go through all that he did, and she was every bit a mother there. Even if she understood theologically, which how much could she have totally understood? We don't understand it all even. But nevertheless, she still was his mother. And that's amazing that Simeon would make that prediction. But anyway, thank you, Steve and Dale, for that. That's wonderful. John chapter 1 talks about light. And that's what I'd like to speak about this morning. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That, Jesus Christ, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. By the way, I think that's a great slap, if you will, against Calvinism. Now, how many people does it light? Every man that cometh into the world. The light is available to every one of them. I love that. Christmas is really about lights. I've mentioned this already before, but how light is associated with Christmas. We don't think of Christmas celebrations as being dark. In other words, there's no part of it is dark. Matter of fact, people celebrate, if you do a town square, then one of the main attractions of that time is the tree lighting. The city itself, Kings Mountain, is more lit up right now. Neighborhoods are more lit up. The Rockefeller Christmas tree has 50,000 lights. 50,000 lights. And I'm not sure if somebody actually counted those or if that's an estimate or what, but the fact is, it is a celebration that's centered very much around lights. And I think that's appropriate because Jesus indeed is the light of the world. John chapter 9 and verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The light that is spoken of in these passages of Scripture is of its truth and of its knowledge, together with the spiritual, the purity associated with it. In other words, this is not just we're talking about these kind of lights that we're obviously making a correlation, but it's the truth of God exposed on men's hearts for who they really are. That's why he says, even in this passage of Scripture, that the darkness can't comprehend it. It shines on them and exposes them for who they really are. You know, some men, Brother Bob has done some drywall, and Jim Bishop done drywall and so forth. If you really want to get a wall without any imperfections in it, you get a bright light. The brighter the light, the less you're going to have problems with. Now, it's going to show things. Matter of fact, you can look at a house and think that it looks pretty good until you put a really, really bright light on it, and all of a sudden, whew. It's kind of interesting. If you stand on that back wall and stand about at that door and look down it, you can actually see that wall does some of this. You say, well, man, who drywalled that? I think that's probably more a product of all the years of banging in here with youth games and stuff like that. But nevertheless, light exposes things. It exposes things. In some cases, it's wonderful. If you need to see something, if someone's doing a surgery on you, would you want them to have plenty of light so they could see exactly what they're doing? If you're getting maybe a splinter, you want to get light there so that you can get it to be precise in what you're doing. It's only when we want to cover things that we don't like light. And the Bible tells us that. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But Jesus Christ came into the world to bring light to it. I'm fascinated by the fact that God just spoke light into existence. He is light. Recently, I think it was Juan and Tete, who served with Andy Bonikowski, stepped outside Ariarity one night and just snapped a picture, and they posted it on Facebook. It is amazing to look up and go, wow. I remember 2002, I believe it was, I was in Ghana, West Africa. And Africa is called the Dark Continent for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons, if you look at a Google map, will show you the light that's dispersed from major cities. It's kind of interesting to look at it. But much of Africa is completely dark. We see darkness here, but there's so much light here, you don't even realize how it affects you. But we went 30 minutes from the closest town, and we were already very, very much in the interior. We had driven 15 hours north by Jeep, and now we were 30 minutes out into the village. And when we got out there, the missionary said to me, he said, look up. And it was one of the most fascinating sights I've ever seen. I couldn't believe. I mean, I just stood there spellbound as I looked into the sky where it was crystal clear, and there was no electricity to dampen it, and there were millions of billions of lights, all stars, all, by the way, the Lord knows their name. And he created the stars also. Amazing. But I want us to look at a couple of things tonight. We'll see, first off, the facts about light, the function of the light, Jesus Christ, and the focus of our light. So let's quickly look at these things. Number one, the facts about light. There's a couple of things we've already mentioned, but first off, light confronts. Light confronts. John chapter 3, verse 19 and following says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Sometimes you look at the world and you think, why do they hate Christians so much? This is why. It's a confrontation. The very light that you are shining on their life is a confrontation to them. Light confronts. That's what it does. In John chapter 11 and verse 10, it says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Light shining, it confronts. It allows people to see that which they could not see before. Another interesting story, I've had some interesting things happen to me with light. When I was in Louisiana as youth pastor, I had one of my youth staff members come to me and said, Pastor Ogle, would you like to go rat hunting with us tonight? Now, number one, this guy was a jokester, and I thought, nobody goes rat hunting. I'm like, that's just crazy. And I looked at him, and I said, Drew, you're pulling my leg. He said, oh, no. No, we rat hunt here. Believe it or not, they actually make a rat shot in Louisiana, okay? What happens is they have chicken houses are a huge deal in Louisiana, and the chicken feed, hate to tell you this, is loaded with steroids. That's why they can raise little baby chicks to full grown in 6 weeks. Well, the leftover feed and stuff that's in those houses for the 2 weeks while they clean it out and transition, the rats eat and become, I mean, they are buffed rats, you know, and it's like, okay, and they got to go in there and get them cleaned out so that they won't eat the chicks that come in. And they'll put 10, 15,000 chicks in a house. And so I said, you're serious? He said, oh, I'm serious. I said, I'd love to go. This will be quite an experience. So we get to this first chicken house, and the guy says to me, he said, now I want you to listen to me. When we get into the house, we're going to open the door. There's no lights on in there. We get into the house. We're going to stand back to back. I think there were three or four of us. And all I want you to do is shoot in your direction, because when that light comes on, you're going to have a fit. And I thought, come on, it can't be that bad, you know? So we get back to back, and everybody's like, you ready? Yeah, we're ready. They flip the light on, and I could not believe what was there. The rats were so thick in there, they were all over. I mean, they were scattering in. It was like a black wave. And at first, I stood there going, oh. Then I started shooting, because you couldn't miss. I mean, hello, it didn't matter where you shot, you were going to hit something, you know. It was amazing, but light exposed that. Now, I want to tell you, the first time I went into the house, I didn't have any clue what I was stepping into. The next time, I knew what I was walking into the darkness. I'm like, we're going into the other one. The second house we opened, they actually jumped out at us. So I knew there were a lot in there. You know, it was like, wow, this is amazing. This is not 1 ounce exaggerated. I watched one where we put multiple rat shot in, and a guy finally put two or three rounds of a 22 in it before it stopped. It was mammoth rat. It was like, wow, this is amazing. Light exposes, it confronts, it shows us what's there. Sometimes that's not a good thing, right? But number two, light comforts. It doesn't just confront, but it comforts. It gives us peace. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What a precious truth that is of light. The word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It guides us in the way. And we need that. This particular verse talks about that it gives light to them that sit in darkness. It brings us to peace. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He came into the world to say to us, hey, you're scrambling all these other ways to bring peace. And by the way, the world is scrambling today for all kinds of ways of peace. But I'm going to tell you, the way of peace is through Jesus Christ. That's what he said. It comforts. But number three, it's contrasted with darkness. And we've already touched on this. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And it's interesting, when you study light versus darkness, darkness cannot dwell with light. It can't happen. When you turn on a light, darkness flees. It exposes what's here in this room, or in any other room for that matter. It's amazing how that takes place. But facts about light, it confronts, it comforts, it's contrasted with darkness. But let's look at number two, the function of the light. Jesus came into the world to bring light to people who were in darkness. as Luke chapter 1 and verse 79 again says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 29 and following, it says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. We just read this, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, or unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What was the purpose, the function of the light? It was to bring salvation. And to bring salvation to whom? The whole world. The entire world. Brother Kevin kind of walked us through some of that this morning in our men's Sunday school class. This is why he came. It's not always pleasant. We don't always like it when light is exposed on us. You ever been in a room where someone walks in and turns the light on and it's like, oh man, you know, it's like, whoa. Turn the light off, you know, trying to sleep or whatever it may be. But light's a good thing. And Jesus Christ came into the world to bring light to a dark world, a world impossible without him. But the third thing is the focus of our light. Jesus came into the world, but then he left us. And what did he leave us as those who know him as Savior to be? The Bible tells us that we're to be lights. And we see a couple of things, I think, here. Number one, we see that our light should be different. You are children of... Ye are all... I'll get it out in a minute. My son said, Daddy, I can tell when you're tired because you can't get your words out right. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. In other words, there's a difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. Is there a difference in you? There's supposed to be. In other words, the world shouldn't look at us and see all the same issues. We are to be different, and that's part of what attracts people to us, is that there should be a difference there, and they're saying, oh, you have the answers to this. You can give an answer to this purpose. When somebody says, I don't know why in the world we're here. Do we have the answer of why we're here? Thank you, one person. The rest of you, do you have an answer? We do. We have a purpose for why we're here, don't we? Sure. Do we have an answer of where we came from? Yes. Thank you. That's good. I like that. I love to see you sing, by the way. I love it. Do we know where we're going? And why do we know all three of those answers? Jesus Christ, that's why. Otherwise, it makes no sense, the world that we're in. Or to be different. But number two, light also gives us direction. Direction. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, our very direction should be different because of this light. Again, I could. Light has been interesting as some illustrations, but I think I've used this one before. But I remember the night that we had been in Ghana, West Africa, for a while, and the missionary said to us, "Are you walking back and forth across this path without a flashlight or lantern or anything?" And yes, they said, "No, that is not a good idea." I said, "It's not? No, there are all kinds of snakes on the path and so forth and so on." And so they gave me a light to walk on this path back. This is the first night I had a light. And sure enough, as I'm walking along, a light exposed a little cobra. And, you know, I just decided he was welcome to cross in front of me. I was not going to bother him at all. No yield sign or nothing. He had the right of way. No problem, you know. If I had not had the light, I'd have probably stepped on him. very well could have died there without anybody knowing. I was, the compound was a 40-acre compound. Light helps us with our direction, even where we're walking and what's happening. But the third thing is the focus of our light causes us to be a disciple. A disciple. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, ye are the light of the world. I'll let that sink into you for a minute. You've heard it. For years you've heard it. But ye are the light of the world. Okay. If light confronts darkness, and if light comforts, and if light is contrasted with darkness, are you supposed to be all those things? You are. In other words, you should be confronting with the light that you are. You should be comforting with the light that you are. You are to be contrasted with darkness, the light that you are. Why? Because Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He expands that and says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That makes no sense. They put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, he says, we're not supposed to have a candle and light it and then hide it. No, it's supposed to be out where everyone can see it. And people should see our good works and glorify God which is in heaven. In other words, we are the direct link to God. We're to point people to Christ. And that's why he left us here. The light, to lighten the Gentiles, yes, that's Jesus Christ. But right now, he's left us here to be that light, to be that connection with those people. And so it begs the question for us, are we functioning the way we're supposed to? Are we the focus of our light? Is it different? Is it directional? Is it discipleship? Is that what we are as people? Light. Christmas light. Jesus came to shine a light in darkness. John could say, I'm not that light. I'm not it. But the true light's coming. And it's going to lighten every man. And he's only going to be here for a little while. And then he's going to leave. And the reason he's leaving is to go to prepare a place. Yes, we understand all that. But he left us here so that we could be the lights that we're supposed to be. In the children's play, they mentioned the fact that history records that Martin Luther was the first to light a tree, if you will, because it reminded him in the forest of the light of the world, Jesus. But as you look around you, whether it's these kind of lights or particularly this time of year, the lights that are out there, does it remind you of the light of the world, and does it remind you that you're to be that light? Does your house stand out in a street? I'm not talking about with Christmas lights. I mean, you may pull down a street. You ever pulled down a neighborhood street and nobody has lights on except for one house? Can you pick out that house? You can. That's. It's not that we're supposed to be weirdos necessarily, but we are to be different. People are to be able to say, there's a house that can bring light. It's what God wants us to do as we think about this time of year. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look at it and to study it and to think about all that you did in connection to coming to this earth and being a light to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. But you left us here to be a light, not to hide it, but to be a testimony to others. During this time, may we shine as lights in a darkened world. We need that. We pray tonight, Lord, that we would commit ourselves to being a difference in this world.